Methodist Church.
See that anchor up there in the middle of the window? They thought that way.
That's right.
Anchor, this is a haven of rest. That was a very common theme in those days. All right. I am not going to be preaching on the gifts that a woman gives today. I will be picking that up again next week, Lord willing. I had sat there yesterday morning, prepared the message, everything else. Last night, the Lord let me know, no, you're not preaching on that. So what I'm going to do instead is I'm going to preach on our old nemesis, doubt. Doubt. Now, if you would, turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. I just want to examine doubt this morning. You know, there's times when doubt is a good thing. No doubt there's some of you have been saved from a bad marriage by an attack of doubt. You know what the old women used to tell the girls? If there's any doubt, don't do it. Any doubt, don't go ahead with that. Okay. Matthew 28. Look at verse 17. If I go to verse 16 to get the context. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Now, here's Jesus Christ. He's raised from the dead. They watched him die. They saw it. They've seen him now resurrected. He's talking to them. And yet some of them doubt what they're seeing. Now, is it because of a problem on Jesus Christ's end? Is there anything he's doing wrong here? No. The problem is on the other end, the receiving end. If you have a radio station that's broadcasting on the right signal, the power's where it ought to be, and your radio's not getting it, problem on the radio. Something wrong there. Now, doubt is one of those things. I liken doubt sometimes to pain. Now, nobody likes pain. At least normal people don't, all right? And the thing is, nobody likes pain, but pain is essential. I remember seeing a special done on TV one time where they were documenting people who have a genetic disorder and they're born without the ability to feel pain. And it actually runs in families, and the government studies them to great extent to try to figure out, you know, what is this? You know, what if you had a CIA guy, you give him a pill, he didn't feel pain, you know, and he gets captured or whatever. So they study that. Well, you think, wow, that'd be great if I didn't feel pain. No, it wasn't. Every single morning when those children went into school, they had to go to the nurse's office, strip, and she examined their bodies. Because things that you and I would instantly know are wrong with us. Rash, itches, things of that sort, broken things, tumors, whatever, they don't feel the pain. So as a result, the first warning system that God even puts there, they don't have it. And I know that warning system goes wrong. And I know that there's pain that you wish you could stop and doctors try to help you to stop it. In fact, one of the reasons, if you have pain medication, to take it and handle it responsibly is you'll heal more quickly if you're not tensed up with pain. That's one of the reasons for that. I know you'll find, oh, I won't take that stuff. No, you shouldn't, okay? But do it like the doctor says. That's do it right. Exactly as they say. But regardless of that, doubt is one of those things that, well, let me ask you this. Which one of you ladies getting ready to go on vacation, lock the house up for a week, in the car, getting ready to start, and you wondered suddenly if you turned the burner off on the oven? How many of you would ignore that doubt? Not a one of you. Okay? And you know what? If it happened to 1,000 ladies, there's only going to be one burner on. All 999 of you ladies would go in there, know the burner is not on, but you feel better. How many of you men, after having worked on your car and such, getting in, starting to back out, wondered, did I tighten those lug nuts? Mm-hmm. How many of you, oh, it doesn't matter, I'll just go on. You know? And, you know, and just ignore those doubts. Don't worry about those doubts. And you know what? You might win doing that. But it's pretty important. Those doubts are there for a reason. Those doubts are there. You say, well, what's the reason here with these doubts? To show those guys there's something wrong with you, buddy. You're standing there looking at your Savior resurrected. You're looking at him. You know it happened. And yet inside you, you're doubting. Why? Because God's trying to show you there's something wrong with you.
Yes, sir. That's right.
You're not on board. You're not where you need to be. You'll see advertisement of the 7 deadly signs of cancer. I'll never ignore those. You know, that mole that changes color and all those different signs that come up and such. And every once in a while, we've all talked to somebody who says, well, I just ignore that. I don't want to hear if I got cancer. You know, oh my goodness. Caught in the early stages, you know, they could save them and live a normal life or whatever. And, you know, ignore that and let it go. And by the time it's caught, nothing anybody can do. So as awful as we hate to see one of those signs of cancer, thank God for the signs of cancer. Yeah. Thank God that he puts those out there. Thank God that we can get those and look at them and see them and do something about it. Well, same thing with doubt. I mentioned it earlier. But, you know, a young lady doubting about the man she's to marry, I can't begin to tell you how many times standing there and people going through a divorce and she say, well, I wondered at the end if I should go ahead with it. I didn't. You idiot, you ignored the warning sign. You ignored the doubt. You ignored that thing that God gave you that was trying to tell you, don't go ahead with this thing. Stop yourself. You're doubting it. Don't proceed. The doubt was a healthy thing to you. The doubt wasn't put there to be your enemy. And you want to know something? Sometimes doubts lie. And that's why with doubts, you have to examine every one of them. What if I began to doubt my wife's fidelity? Now, if you know my wife, you know that's a slander. The doubt itself is a slander. The doubt itself is a cruel, vicious thing. Well, should I ignore it? No. You know what I need to do? I need to face that doubt because you know what it's going to do? When I examine her, and I mean fairly, not like some neurotic weirdo, it's going to show me there's something wrong with me. Why would I just ignore those doubts? You know what? If I ignore those doubts, they're going to trouble me. They're going to destabilize me. They're going to make me double-minded. They're going to hurt me. So if I have a doubt like that saying, how do I know my wife's being faithful? Okay. Well, stop and examine. Look. And then, in my case, you can be sure there's something wrong with me. And many husbands had that. There's actually a provision in the book of Numbers for when a man has that come upon him. And sometimes it lies, sometimes it tells the truth. But the dumbest thing you can do is say, I'm going to ignore that. Don't you ignore that. You look at it straight in the eyes. I told you how that I've been looking at personal messages. Say, personal messages? Yeah, YouTube is full of personal messages by Jehovah Witnesses. Who've come out of the Jehovah Witnesses who are leaving messages for their families who've disassociated with them. Oh, you left? We're not talking to you anymore. It happens with Jews. It happens with Mormons. It happens with Jehovah Witnesses. It happens with Amish. Sadly, too often, it can happen in our families if you're not careful.
That's right. Okay?
Where you're mad at that person, they've taken off, I'm not going to talk to them anymore. So the thing is, they've left messages on YouTube to their family and say, Mom, I don't know if you'll ever hear this. But I want you to know that we're thriving, we're doing well. Mom, I was filled with doubts for the last 30 years in every meeting we went to. But they told us, just ignore those, you're evil if you have those doubts. They told us not to go on the internet, look this stuff up. They told us not to look behind the scenes. Let me tell you something. You ever hear us saying that in this church, you get out.
That's right. Yes, we're up.
If you ever hear me saying, oh, don't you examine your doubts and don't you look behind what we're doing and you just take everything we say at face value and such. And there's always a skeptic who probably doubts for longer than they should. There's always that. But I'd rather have that person than the silly person that just believes everything that they shouldn't.
Yes.
The sad part is most people that are caught up in a cult or just a false religion, something that's not true, they think it's a virtue to ignore their doubts. It's not a virtue. You need to look at your doubts. Let me tell you something. If you doubt me as a pastor, I want you to examine those doubts. I don't want you to run away from those. I want you to look and say, why do I doubt him as a pastor? If you doubt the word of God, I don't want you to run away. Oh, no, I don't want anyone to know that's happening to me. No, turn around and examine those doubts. Look at them straight in the face. Don't let them have power over you. Examine. You know why? Because I am convinced that when you examine the Word of God honestly, with an open mind, and I mean bring it all in, look at everything, it will triumph in your eyes. It will. One of the disappointing things about today's age is this. You know, when I first started getting interested in the Bible in the 70s, young people had an education. You could talk to them about natural science, and they really understood the principles. You know what I've learned today? You talk to people in their 20s about that stuff, they don't even know it. They've just been told the conclusions to believe.
That's right.
But they don't have any idea of the mechanics behind any of those. And you can't even reason with them. You can't even get into them with the arguments about any of that. They don't know what history is. They've been told the conclusions of history, but they don't know the history. They've been told the conclusions of science. They don't know the science. They're amazingly ignorant. You'll tell them something that absolutely makes a lie out of something they commonly believe, and they don't even know how to process it. And they just stand there and stare back at you, and it's a tough thing. It's more difficult to deal with people's doubts today than at any time I've ever known. Just because of the general basic ignorance people have. There was a time when everybody who stepped out of a college campus had a basic understanding in Western civilization. Why? Because it's the best? No, but it accomplished the most. If you don't think so, go to school in Laos. Go to school in Nigeria. Go to school in China. Go ahead. If you think the others are superior, okay? You know why you went to school here? Because you liked what Western civilization produced for you, okay? And you might be stupid enough to believe it when your teacher said, we're not the best. Okay? And if you want to run around and believe we're not the best, that's fine. This is America. Believe whatever you want to believe. Okay? Look, go down to Cuba, get a manhole cover, paint Jesus on it, and worship it. It's America. You can do that. I'm not going to interfere with your right to do it. But I'll question your brain. Okay? Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 10. Look at verse 17. Regardless of what you think of our current administration, regardless of what you think of its policies, and I'm not here to judge those, okay? You want to talk to me sometime about that separately, then in the pulpit we can discuss that. What's amazing is that on two occasions now, people arguing for their policies have openly boasted that the press is so stupid that they'll buy whatever they tell them. On two occasions now. I won't even go into the two different policies. But one of them openly said at the National Press Club, he said, when you go to a White House press briefing, the average age is 27 and they don't know anything.
That's right.
Yeah. They've all been told what conclusions to believe when they came out of college and have no idea where those conclusions came from. And we just mold their minds for whatever. And they write for the New York Times. They write for the Wall Street Journal. They write for the Washington Post. They run the NBC and such. And we grew up with those veteran Eric Severides, those Walter Cronkites. We grew up with that, see? And we think of this aged old newsman, you know, Daniel Shores and such. We think of that. That don't exist anymore. Okay? They're not there. These people haven't even hit their 30th birthday. And they're the ones who sit there and strain everything that you hear through their thinking, what their professors wanted to think, and then whatever a clever politician wants, and put it out there and splash it for headlines. You know what the effect of that has been? That people I have known all my life who basically, in personal demeanor, were conservative people, they're really jettisoning that. They're letting that go. They're changing. And it's not because the laws of life have changed. It's just because they're just bombarded all the time. And nobody ever looks behind the scenes. Nobody ever looks to what's really said. Nobody ever really cares. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says this. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So where does faith come from? It's not something you drum up. Faith, by the way, is the opposite of doubt. They are opposites. Cold is not hot, hot is not cold. Big is not little, little is not big. Okay? Fat is not skinny, skinny is not fat. Faith is not doubt, doubt is not faith. They are opposites. Okay? If you're someone who doubts Jesus Christ, doubts your salvation, doubts the things of the Bible, you don't have faith. Doubt is the evidence of that. It's the evidence. God's trying to show you something. He's trying to make you see that. Okay? He wants you to examine that doubt. First of all, was that doubt lying? Go look at it. Was the doubt lying? Find out. If it's telling the truth, find out why it's telling the truth. But where are you going to get the faith from? From hearing. Hearing what? Hearing the word of God. Now, if there's one thing that's going to go on in this church, you're going to hear the word of God. You say, well, how do we know your interpretation is right? Well, you know what? Chances are between your two ears, there's gray matter. And chances are you really think you can use it. Why don't you do that? Why don't you look into the word of God? You know what? I challenge people this all the time. Take the Bible, look into it, and read it. And if you come to the conclusion that it's not true, at least it's an educated conclusion. You examined it. You tried it. You gave it a good shot. And you found that we're deceived. That Bible's not right. But you want to know what? So far, every person in the last 40 years that I've watched do that has come to the conclusion the Bible's true. I've never seen a person give the Bible an absolutely honest look, going into it, examining what it says, and I mean throw the full force of your doubts and your skepticism. Don't bury part of your intellect. Don't tie your intellect behind your back. Look at it with the full force of it. If you want to see people tie their intellect behind their back, talk with a college kid for about 20 minutes. Talk with somebody 30 years old, all wrapped up in liberal politics. They've got so much of their intellect tied behind their back, stuff they can't look. You said a word I didn't like. You beat me in their pants. I can't take it. Okay? God forbid. Say something I don't like in my face. You know what? Okay, I didn't like it. You know what? It's called being a big boy. It's called being a big girl. You heard something you didn't like. All right. You know what? It's called civilization. Putting up with people who you don't like what they say. Okay? It's an easy thing to do. It's how everybody gets along together. The old Rodney King thing. Can't we all get along? Yes, we can. Okay? You know what? Putting up with each other. We heard something we didn't like. Okay. Examine your Bible. Look at it. See, the most important thing that can happen is for each and every person in this church to have their own relationship with the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Their own relationship where you're reading it, you're studying it, you're getting to know it. And you know what? If you come to the conclusion it's not so, come and tell me. I won't be your enemy. I'm not going to shame you. If you have questions where there's something where you're doubting it, let's discuss it. Okay? Let's go. Maybe I have an insight that'll help you with it. I've had some of my people come give me an insight that helped me. I've had it happen. Go with me, if you would, to 1 Timothy 2. See, I know what it's like to give up all my old ways, come into the house of God, start learning the Bible, sit under preaching, and have those doubts creep in. And I know what it's like to run from them, hating them, denying them. And I know what it's like to finally turn around and stare at them and realize, oh my goodness, my doubts were the Holy Ghost trying to tell me I was lost. My doubts were God trying to tell me that, hey buddy, you're just standing here in the midst of God's people, but you're no better than those disciples who are looking and doubting, okay? Apostle Paul said this in 1 Timothy 2:8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting. What do you mean lifting up holy hands? You know that song, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see? Okay? Those are holy eyes. And those little eyes are careful what they see. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Little hands, what are you touching? Lift up holy hands. Hands where you control them. And they touch only what's supposed to be touched, not what's not supposed to be touched. And he would that everywhere people be able to lift up holy hands. That, you know what? These hands have been on what they're supposed to be on, okay? Without wrath. And you'd be amazed how much wrath is out there in the world. I mean wrath. And most of it comes from injustices done to you. There's not a person in here who hasn't had serious injustice done to them at one time or another. And it will fill you with wrath. And when you grow up that way and it was never relieved, you actually become a very troubled, angry person to the point you need counseling and that. And because it's all inside of you and it's awful. And I'm telling you this, one of the most wonderful things in the world is for God to heal that wrath inside of you. It's one of the most wonderful things that can ever happen, where the wrath is gone. And you can look at the people who did those things to you and said those things, and they'll never understand. They're never going to get it. Don't ever try to make them get it. Just go away, walk away from it, and be done. Lifting up holy hands without wrath, and then without doubting.
Amen.
Without doubting. Let me tell you something. That's the will of God for you. You say, but I can't stop the doubting. You can look at them. You can look. You turn around and say, are you doubts? I'm going to look at you. I'm going to examine you. You're not going to just have, you're not going to sit there and whisper all these things. You're not going to do that. You know, every once in a while, there'll be an anonymous letter campaign written trying to smear somebody or whatever. And it's always awful when it goes on because it'll be mixed with things that are true, things that are false, things that are warped or whatever else. And everybody wants to know, who wrote these things? Who did this? Who so hates you and such? But every once in a while, there's anonymous letters written that should be looked at. Or somebody's afraid to say something that should be said. They'll put an anonymous letter out there. Sometimes it's a child, okay? Putting out something that he's afraid to say and putting that letter out, trying to tell people that Mr. So-and-so, there's really something wrong with him. I had a woman tell me one time, there's in South Carolina, Columbia, there's a huge children's home. Ruth Ann grew up a mile away from it. And one time, one of the top counselors in the school was a pedophile. And I talked to the woman who the child tried to tell her. Tried to tell her, that man's a sicko. He's hurting us, okay? And I talked to the woman who said, and I didn't believe him, okay? And he's trying to every way he can to signal people there's something wrong here. And she said, I had to have that child look at me. I told you, I told you, I told you. Okay? It's an awful thing. Sometimes doubts lie. Sometimes they tell the truth. Your job is to examine each one of them. Look at them. Don't run away. If they're trailing behind you, with their little whispers or their accusations, they'll drive you crazy and spoil the joy from your life. They might hurt you terribly because you ignored them.
Yes.
Or they might hurt you terribly because you took them too serious. How do you know the difference? Get the Word of God and get into there and find out what the truth is. Examine it yourself. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians 13. You know, the Apostle Paul wrote 1 Corinthians. It's a harsh letter. It's a letter of rebuke. And then later he writes 2 Corinthians. And it's one of the most tender letters. And he greatly commends them. He says, boy, you're the people. You've justified yourself. You've avenged yourself. You've done what you're supposed to. And he's so happy. And this is one of the premier churches where he has spent 18 months of his personal time in that church. Apollos has spent time. Peter's been there. Look what he said in verse 5 of 2 Corinthians 13. Examine yourselves. Who, Paul? You guys in the church? You guys in the church that have been there and under Paul's ministry? You people that have stayed through thick and thin? You're telling them to examine themselves?
That's right. Yes, sir.
Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. You know what? I'd say that's a pretty crucial thing to do. To examine and look, am I really in the faith? Is this Bible really true? I don't think there's any more important question that's ever been asked from this pulpit. I heard a man preach last week in North Carolina. I heard him on the internet. We carry it on our website. But he preached this. Have you counted the cost? What it would cost you to be lost? Have you counted that cost? What would it cost you? What would it cost you to go ahead with a long series of mistakes because you haven't examined up? What would it cost you to drive out of your driveway with your lug nuts loose? What would it cost you to go on vacation with that burner still on because you ignored the doubts? What would it cost you, you mamas, when you get ready to go to bed and wonder if all the children are covered? What would it cost you if you just didn't drag yourself out of bed, check each of those little ones, make sure those covers are on them like they should? What would it cost when they're all sick because you didn't do it? What would it cost you to ignore those doubts?
Yes.
I like it, buddy. What would it cost? The Apostle Paul told a church that he spent more time, as far as I know, than any other church. And he has just spent the first 12 chapters commending them how wonderfully they've handled everything. And then he says, you examine yourselves whether or not you be in the faith. Okay? Know you not that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates.
That's right.
Well, you want to know something? If you were a reprobate, it wouldn't bother you. The sure sign of a reprobate, they don't care. God switched the switch in their brain and they'll never care again. But if you care, you're not reprobate. If it bothers you, you're not reprobate. You can be sure of that. God's not done with you. You know what the Pharisees said to Jesus Christ? How long dost thou make us to doubt? Who's making them doubt? Jesus Christ is. You know why? Because he said, search the scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. Okay? Who's making them doubt? He is. He's telling you might not be all right. Why? Because he hates them? Why? Because he wants to torment them? No, he loves them. I think people have heard, most of you have heard the illustration I use so many times at this point. But it goes back to a newspaper clipping. I know my cousins had, I was just a child. My cousins had a newspaper clipping of a remarkable story of a lady. And this was back in the early 1960s. She comes out of a grocery store at night. She's going to her car. And the most awful thing that every woman dreads, a man starts running at her yelling. And oh my goodness, her heart panics. Every woman is worried about this moment. She jumps in her car, starts it, The man starts to beat on her car, trying at her door to pull it open. She backs out, and to her horror, he runs to his car and gets in and gets behind her. And her heart just pounding, just absolute in agony over this. Now, this is before the days of cell phones. There's no way that you're going to call anybody. And her panic, wondering what to do, she remembers where the state trooper barracks are. And with her horn honking, she pulls up onto their lawn, dirt going everywhere, honking, and sure enough, state troopers come running out. And this man in the other car comes running out, and they understand the situation, and all their guns are on him, telling him not to move. And he says, no, no, look in her back seat. There was a naked man in her back seat. He had come and seen the head go down when she walked out of the car and tried to stop her. She ran from him with all her heart. You know what he thought? I'll stay behind her and keep the headlights so he can see the headlights. He won't dare do anything with my headlights there. And that's why he never let her out of there. And you know what? She thought the man in the car was the enemy.
That's good, Pastor.
Okay?
That's good.
Let me tell you something. Maybe the doubts bugging you aren't your enemy. Maybe the doubts bugging you are somebody warning you about something. How would you know? Examine yourselves. Get in the Word of God. Read the Word of God. Find out what it says. If the Word of God is not true, get rid of it. Be done with it. Be over with it. Okay? If the Word of God is true, find out what it says. Let it deliver you. Let it do what it wants to do in your life. Do that. Let God have his way, but quit ignoring your doubts, whether they're lying or telling the truth. Examine every one of them. Okay? Examine them about your spouse, about your children, about your God, about your pastor, about your church, about your job, about your Bible. I mean, examine every one of them and look at them with the truth and be done with them. Let them do their lie or their warning, and put them in the proper place. Pastor, would you close us?